Before we turn to our text this morning, we'll first turn to the Old Testament, to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 15. As I kind of already mentioned, when we get to Ephesians, we're going to focus on that theme of wisdom and what it is to live wisely. And Vernon, that's been a theme for at least a number of sermons as we've looked at a couple of verses in that chapter. And it starts in Ephesians with the applying wisdom to time and our use of time. And of course, trying to then also tie it to wisdom literature that you find in the Old Testament. One of the greatest passages about time itself is found also in wisdom literature in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3. So we'll read Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 through 15. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck what is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to gain and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence, a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What profit has the worker from that in which he labors? I have seen the God-given task with which the sons of men are to be occupied. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. I know that nothing is better for them than to rejoice and to do good in their lives, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. I know that whatever God does, it shall be forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken from it. God does it that men should fear before him that which has already been, and what is to be has already been. And God requires an account of what is past. That's God's word, as we find that wisdom literature in the Old Testament. Let's now turn to the New Testament, to Ephesians chapter 5. Focus this morning is going to be verses 15 through 16, but so that we get the context of that new life and what that looks like, we'll read Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 through 21. And if you would read through the book of the letter to the Ephesians from beginning to end, especially the latter half, you'll notice that there is this theme about walking or living. And it gives us different instructions. In chapter 4, verse 1, it'll start out with live in unity or walk in unity. Later on in chapter 4, it'll say walk in holiness. Chapter 5 will start with that command to walk as in love, as dearly loved children. Then walk in the light a little bit later on. And then finally, walk in wisdom or walk circumspectly, as the New King James has it. There's all of this walking, and that's very much a wisdom theme in that sense of, like, you know, living isn't just static. In some ways, we're always going somewhere or direct on our way to something, directing our lives to some end. And we have to think, as Christians, what is that end? Ephesians says, you know, unity, holiness, love, light, and the focus this morning being wisdom, or at least the first couple of verses that speak to that. So Ephesians chapter 5, we'll read verses 1 through 21. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, or covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk on wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Well, that's the word of God for us this morning. Dearly loved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, the great 18th century thinker, Jonathan Edwards, set up 70 resolutions for his life. And included was the resolution number 5. And he wrote, resolved never to lose one moment of time, but improve it the most profitable way I possibly can. Resolved never to lose one moment of time, but improve it the most profitable way I possibly can. And in fact, he went on to also write a little booklet titled The Preciousness of Time and the Importance of Redeeming It. Now today, if you would see a book like that, maybe somewhere in a bookstore, you may think, well, this may be a business manager sharing some tips on how not to waste time and really what the essence of time management is. Or maybe you would go and you'd find it among life skills written by some coach who's helping people reach their potential in terms of that one resource, time, which limits all of us. If you know maybe your church history and you know who Jonathan Edwards is, you know he wasn't a business manager and he wasn't a life coach. He was actually a theologian. As you maybe recognize, as we've read through Ephesians, is that his work on the preciousness of time and the importance of redeeming it is just quoting that exhortation in Ephesians 5, verse 16. Redeem the time. Redeem the time. We get to this wonderful theme as we talk about how do we walk in the Christian life. And in Ephesians, it's all laid out. As we went through this chapter, we saw how it's about love, true love, and what that looks like. It's about light and walking in the light. And finally, then it comes also to wisdom. How do you live wisely? And how does it apply to time? Time is everywhere. We are people who keep time. If it's not on our wrist, we check the time as we watch our phones. You all came here by making sure you came on time, knowing how long it would take to get here. What should be our main thought behind time, and also our time? What is its purpose for us? Well, think about that this morning under that theme then, living wisely or walking wisely using the time we have been given. Now, as I just mentioned, this chapter in Ephesians is all about that transformation of grace that happens in the Christian life. And it's full of that wonderful language in the scriptures of each one of us. We truly are dearly loved children. We were once darkness, but now we are light. And when it gets to that topic of wisdom, it is no different. It's not as if God suddenly says, well, now you have to live as wise without God also providing for us. If you had gone back, we've read all of the letters to the Ephesians, we would have noted right at the very beginning in the first chapter, Paul talks about these wonderful spiritual blessings that have been given us through Jesus Christ. And one of the things that he mentions right away is that each one of us has been given that spirit of wisdom and understanding. When we are called to walk wisely, that is always done by the God's gift of the Spirit, always done in relationship to God. Think about wisdom in the Old Testament. Think about that book of Proverbs and how it describes the beginning of wisdom. It's always our relationship with God, that fear of the Lord. Same was drawn out in Psalm 90. To know God is to be able to number our days and understand their value. That is our starting point. And it's very interesting when you read through Ephesians chapter 5. It first goes to that theme that we are children of light. When you think about it, it is a natural progression to start thinking about wisdom. Wisdom and light often go hand in hand in Scripture, and that shouldn't surprise us. You know, we still might talk about people having a light bulb moment. You know, the light went on, or if we're enlightened, we have come to know something, we've understood something, or learned something new. And what could be greater and then we have gone from darkness to light. And then as it has that one, what seems to be the beginning of a hymn, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. It's that poetic description of the Christian life as just this rising with Christ. Rising from the dead. Your eyes being opened, and you start to see things new again. Light has been turned on. Christ is our light. He is our wisdom. And he then says, therefore, do not be unwise. See then that you walk circumspectly, that you walk wisely, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Maybe we've heard this before, right? That phrase, redeeming the time. But isn't it kind of an unusual expression, isn't it? Like, how do you redeem time? Redemption is a huge concept within Scripture that you may be bought back. Like, Christ redeems us, buys us back, having paid for all of our sins, turned away the wrath of God, brought us to God. And yet, you know, even within the English language, even within our own daily language, there is some sense in which we may understand redemption or redeeming the time. Right? If you try to stall something, you say, like, I'm buying time. It's a phrase, but you can't really buy time, like, as a concept, but we get what you mean. Like, it's something you may be able to stall, you may get some extra time, more than you had hoped for. Sometimes you talk about wasting time or the value of it, squandering it. There's even a sense that even today, we still have that idea that time is something that's valuable and it has a value to it. And you can maybe buy time, you can squander it, there's a value to it. Depending on how it's used, it may actually show its value or not. It's something that is also used elsewhere in the New Testament, in the book, the letter to the Colossians, chapter 4, verse 16. Paul writes the following. He says, be wise in the way you act towards outsiders, making the most of every opportunity. What other translations have also for this phrase of redeeming the time, make the most of every opportunity, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer people. It's the same phrase, but interesting here, it's the context of evangelism or outreach or just defending the faith. You can make the most of the time or most of the opportunities that you have by sharing defending the gospel. But here in Ephesians, context is a bit different, isn't it? It isn't quite as clear. All that we have here for the reason for redeeming the time is that because the days are evil. Now maybe we hear that and we think this morning, like, so what is Paul talking about? What is going on within Paul's life that would make him say, well, the days are evil? Like, was there something particular on Paul's mind? We know that at the time Paul was in prison. I mean, he's writing as a prisoner. We also know from this letter that there was division within the church in Ephesus, especially between the Jews and the Gentiles. How could they live together? How could they worship together? But I don't think that's any really the best way to understand that phrase, the days are evil. Rather, if you had gone back into the letter to the Ephesians, it would have already noted that as we were dead in our sins, as chapter 2, verse 1 mentioned, it talks about the prince of the power of the air being over this world. Or as probably all the kids know, later on in Ephesians, there's that passage on the armor of God. Why would Paul have to talk about the armor of God if it's not because there's a battle going on? And that we needed to stand against temptation, against spiritual powers? But the fact that the days are evil isn't anything in particular. It's about the darkness that we have risen out up from but is still surrounding us. And that we now have to expose as children of light. And we see that all this kind of continues today. And all this then applies still to us. It says this is why we have to walk carefully, circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. The days are evil. And you know, when you think about it, it's not just the fact that, well, evil is out there and we have to fight against it or expose it. More than that, we know that also within ourselves, we are drawn to use our time for evil. We by nature go along with these evil days. That's why Jesus had to rise and shine upon us. That's why he has to renew us. But don't you think that this would have been also on Paul's own heart? Says, you know, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. How do you think Paul looks back on his life before Christ? And we know a bit about Paul. Got a great education, helped wonderfully as he became, you know, this leader who also wrote so much of the New Testament. But it was also a violent time, right? He hated the church. He breathed out violence against it. Did anything to put Christians in jail or to make them blaspheme Jesus Christ. Don't you think there would be a sense of regret? There he was for so long, trying to fulfill the law, protect his Jewish upbringing, persecuting the church. That he's just like, I'm not going to get those days back. He may have known exactly what the congregation in Ephesus was like. Whether they were Jews with the same background as him, who hadn't known God and his wonderful grace before, maybe even hesitant, maybe even persecuting the church in one way or another. Whether they were Gentiles or pagans who had just lived a life of partying. That was also their worship. Every weekend again. Praying to what was not a god. Maybe it was time spent just studying Greek philosophers. Listening to any new idea that was out there. Waiting for that aha, that light bulb moment. so many different ways. The days are evil. Paul knew it firsthand. The Ephesians knew it firsthand. And this morning, what if you look at your own life? Do you know it firsthand? That we need this exhortation this morning, that to redeem the time, to walk carefully, to walk wisely. Because we have squandered time. We've given in to our sins. We thought that there was no better way to spend our time till later that light comes on and we realize, man, I've wasted potential. I've wasted opportunity. I've wasted time. And sought those things that aren't bearing fruits. In fact, I sought those things that really only lead me away from God. And what does that do to you? What does that do to us? If it doesn't then start to fill us with that sense that time is valuable, it needs to be received as such, because Christ has shone upon us and given us a new light. That's as we're called, and goes on, and then he has his ministry. Serve God. As he encourages all the Ephesians to do the exact same. To now walk carefully. The very starting point this morning has to be that we no longer just figure that we can use our time for an opportunity to do evil. Instead, our time can be used to expose evil and to do the will of God that is true and right and good. The time that we spend in sin is not what we're going to get back. The wonderful news of the gospel is that our sins are completely forgiven. We are new and renewed and righteous in the sight of God. But the time that we spent in our former way of life is not given up back. And only now then understand why it says so carefully, walk circumspectly, walk carefully. Of course, there's more to be said this morning. It's not just about not using our time to do evil or to squander it. Of course, then the question becomes like, how? What is the best use of our time? That's probably when we ask that question, we realize how it's so fitting that this is then an exhortation that fits under that walking wisely, because we have such a need for wisdom in order to know that. It is a really difficult question to answer. But let me start then with not the specifics that you may consider today throughout your week, but let me start with the more general point. What is the best use of your time? I'll ask you first, is the care of your soul a priority when it comes to the use of your time? Is the care of your soul a priority when it comes to the use of your time? We all know that every day there are tons of different things that we can do. Maybe that we even have to do. Because work is calling, family is calling, there's chores to be done around the house. Maybe even using it to helping people and so on. But do you make sure that you care for your spiritual well-being? Do you make sure that you care for your soul? And if we ask, Scripture saying, what would be the best way to redeem our time? Well, it's got to start here. The best way to make the most of our time is to start also with our relationship with the Lord. How we make time to seek Him in His Word, to seek Him in prayer. If you want the best value for your time, it's got to start there. As a reminder for us all that the time we have been given here is followed by eternity, and the fact that we may work already today on that relationship that we will enjoy for eternity. But we have to put in the time and dedicate it to that purpose. And then as much as that's just a general starting point, we have to focus on from there, though, things start to kind of be put into place. We're trying to think, how do we prioritize? Well, then spiritual matters have to come to the front and to the top. Because if we have a real concern for our spiritual well-being, then well, maybe it may actually force us to consider, okay, well, how do I spend my time?
With whom do I spend my time? And are they a spiritual blessing to me or not? What would be my definition of a good time? If at the very top it is that time that I may spend worshiping the Lord. From there it can maybe become that question of, like, not just who do you spend time with, but which, what paths are you choosing? What end are you seeking with your life? That truly is that time that you put in because you want to make it to this point, this destination, and the habits and the commitments that come with it. Or maybe you start to wonder, what are these habits that maybe aren't sinful, but they just suck your time? There's hobbies that maybe distract you all the time from those things that are important. Whether it's the phone or other electronics that get a hold of us. Social media, marketplace. Go through your own life. Say, where does your time go? And what does it say about the company you keep and the things that, and at the end, the end that you're walking towards? I'm not really drawing anything out besides just the generalizations that are found in the Way of Wisdom. These things are laid out in Psalm 1, right? There's two ways to walk. There are two ways to use our time. Passage this morning calls us, take this warning seriously. The days are evil and time needs to be used wisely. But wisdom is never just about how to, or being able to plan your schedule. Above all of this, we also have to realize that we can't do any of this without knowing and realizing who really is in control. When it comes to our time, it's not us. It's not even time itself, nor is it the evil days, but it is God and God alone. And we may know that despite, as the text warns us, that the days are evil, God is working out everything in accordance with the purpose of His will. History is always moving, and it's moving forward according to the plan that He has made. And this morning, hold on to that assurance. Also, as you think about all that goes on in your life and how you spend your time. Because when we read the passage like in Ecclesiastes 3, all about wisdom and about time, I think we'd be very curious. We all ask everyone here, what kind of emotions, what kind of feeling does that text draw out of you? There's beauty, isn't there, in that repetition. And yet that change that goes on, the time, and there's so many different opportunities and possibilities and patterns and change. Great wisdom. But maybe there's also something frightening in it. There's the passing of time. And you can't just stop it. You can't put time on hold. Time just keeps on going, even when we don't want it to. Once a season passes into the next, it's wonderful, and we need that, and yet it can also at the same time overwhelm us. Because we change, and the people around us, they change, they grow up, they look for different things, their lives change. So that sometimes we may have seasons in our life where it feels like we're just waiting, and nothing's happening, and nothing's changing, it's just the same old. And other times you may be here this morning saying, I have barely any time ever to reflect, to think, where's my time going? Or because it's just the one thing after the other, after another. Some seasons we're in the thick of things, and other times it may seem like life and time is passing us by. And Ecclesiastes points that out for us. That however it is today, and however we may experience time today and this morning, it's not always going to be like that. And as much as we can and should discuss how we manage our time and the best use of it, what we really need and what Ecclesiastes seeks to give us is that fear of the Lord. That He is over it all, as it says. That He gives us that sense, that desire for eternity to understand all that God has done, but we can't figure it out from beginning to end. That we realize that time itself is not this resource that is just given to us, that we can control and bend to our will. What we really do with time, or ought to do with time, is seek God's will. What does He want me to do today? What does He want me to do tomorrow? What does he want me to do? And the opportunities he's given me this year, the months, the weeks ahead. And this is why it's such an important part of our life, in which God's wisdom then may shine and can never be exhausted. Because as we go through life, seasons change, opportunities change, life changes. Whether we bring in those changes or they come upon us. And yet always that exhortation to walk, to watch then how you walk and to do then wisely. To know the opportunities, the doors that have been opened, but also the ones that have closed. To know our limits. To ultimately find the best use of our time in that fear of the Lord, which includes doing good, doing God's will, and seeking Him just as the end and the purpose of the gift of time. So it's also no surprise that when you get to the end of the book of Ecclesiastes, it addresses us, everyone, in their different seasons of life. That reminder that when you're in your youth and there's tons of doors that are open and tons of opportunities, don't forget the Lord. If you're in the middle of the busyness of life and there's just so many different things that you're working on and building up, don't forget who ultimately controls time. If you're already older, more advanced in years, remember then too that the natural progression of things and that God has given us is time and good measure to remember our Creator. So as we wrap up this morning, when it comes to time management and how to use time, many people, almost everyone, will agree that time is a precious resource that needs to be managed and used the best that we can. As Christians, we have to wonder, how are we different? How has Christ shone upon us? And I love the fact that in the New Testament, it talks about redeeming the time. It just reminds us that our time is precious. The fact that our time is precious is that Jesus Christ has redeemed us. So that we are redeemed people who redeem the time. Let that give you a different perspective, because the world is always going to have their list. Say, when you're young, you have this list of things you got to do. You got to travel, you got to make friends, you got to experience things. Maybe get an education, start your career. Get a bit older, you got to start a family, you got to set up, get that house, your dream house that you want. You got to continue to advance in your career. When you're older, maybe retired, it's like there's another list of things. You got to travel, do all those things that you put off till now. Maybe enjoy family, see the world, take a break. That idea that you got to milk the time for all of its worth. And Ephesians says, time already has worth. Time already has value, not because of what you potentially may be able to do or not do, but because Christ has redeemed you. His face has shone upon you. And you have light, you have wisdom, you have love to bring also into this world. And you do that in time, as you walk before Him. It's not what we can all accomplish that will make time valuable. It's what God has already done in His Son that makes each day just precious, that we may live for Him. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. And every day that we live that new life in wisdom, just that testimony to what Christ has done. And so, make the most of every opportunity. So, redeem the time. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly God and Father, we thank You. We thank You for that wonderful new life that we have in Christ. That truly it is that You, through Your Son, have shone upon us that we may have light to guide our feet. Father, also grant us Your Spirit that we may know how to walk before You. That we may know the right direction. That we may know how to redeem the time.
Father, would you point out to us, would you show us clearly the ways in which we may redeem the time? We too may, Father, be still giving time to those things that are evil. Father, help us be merciful and gracious and renew us. Help each one of us that we may know to use the time and service to you to continue to grow and mature in our walk with you. Each day we may say again that time has been spent with you. Father, for that very reason, we thank you that we may be here this morning, that at the beginning of our very week may be given to you. We may spend time together as the church, together as brothers and sisters, and together also with you, and so redeem the time. And Father, then also from this, would you grant us the wisdom that as we go from here into our daily tasks, that as we go into our week, there are many different things that call upon us again for their attention. But there too, we may have our eyes open, see opportunities to make the most of what you've given us, to make the most of the time you've given us. So bless us also as each one of us is in different stages of life, where there may be different opportunities, others that maybe have passed. Father, grant us wisdom in each one of our own circumstances, to see them as those circumstances in which you have placed us, to guide our feet from here. We ask you all of this in Christ's name alone.